Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Five. I'm very glad to have a very interesting guest with me today, Sonja Crowther. She co-founded Soothing Solution in 2017 together with Denise.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasek Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating, and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things. And yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
Yeah, hello, Sonja. Great to have you here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, tell us a little bit. The podcast is all about starting your business and how you got into that journey. And maybe we tell our listeners a little bit about where you're from and what have you done in your life and how did you get into that idea to actually start a business?
No problem. So I am a pharmaceutical technician and I've worked at that since I was 15. I started working in pharmacies on school work experience. I don't know if you have that in Germany. In secondary school here, if you're not sure what you want to do as a career or you are sure, they'll send you out on work placements to see, you know, do you suit the role? And I really loved pharmacy. I loved that you were helping people across the counter. And the lady I started the job with, she was in pharmacy a long, long time and she was a great mentor. And I think maybe that's why I liked the job so much. She gave me so much time and I learned so much from her. And then I went off and finished school and then went to Trinity College and got my pharmaceutical technician qualification. And continued working in pharmacies. And for the whole time, even from a 15-year-old, I noticed that there was parents looking for sore throat and cough remedies for very young children. So all that was available were hard throat lozenges or throat sweets or cough syrups that didn't really taste very nice. And children, they weren't suitable for children. And so I went on, I got married, I had children. Still working in pharmacy, and then my own children were experiencing the sore throats and the viruses and the coughs, and it was really hard to find a solution to help with their throats specifically. You could get medicines to help with temperature and pain, but to act on the side of your throat, like we would take a throat lozenge, but there was none for children. And that's when the idea came. It was working in pharmacy. And then I don't know what it's like again in Germany, but there was a big explosion of jelly multivitamins. So if instead of liquid on the spoon, multivitamins came like jelly sweets, and we couldn't keep them on our shelves in the pharmacies. The kids were taking these every day. Parents were happy they could give their kids the multivitamins. And I remember saying to my colleagues, one day I'm going to make a jelly throat lozenge and I'm going to make it really child friendly. And, it's going to fly off the shelves. And I used to joke that was my dragon's den. I was going to be a millionaire and this was going to happen. So I had four children. So this is 20 years later, 25 years later. And my marriage had broken down, unfortunately. And I was trying to pay the mortgage and put food on the table and support my children. And it was very difficult. And the turning point came when I was at work. Pharmacies here, you had to work weekends. I couldn't find childcare I was happy with at the weekend. And I had to leave my youngest son, who was two at the time, with the babysitter. I had missed lots of work because when your children are young, their immune systems haven't fully developed and they catch every bug and virus. And so you tend as the mother to miss a lot of work. And my boss was saying, you know, you can't be missing any more work and we'd have to review your contract if you can't fulfill the contract. So there was a lot of pressure because I was paying the mortgage by myself. So it was a Sunday and I couldn't miss another day in work. And I left my two-year-old with the babysitter and the older children were sorted out with another babysitter. And unfortunately, I got the call in work that day that every parent dreads. And it was there's been an accident, you have to come home. And my son had poured a pot of boiling potatoes over himself. And he was only two. And he sustained horrific third-degree burns. Within 24 hours, he developed sepsis and he fought for his life for 10 days. So this was the end of November. And all the children had put in their lists for Santa Claus. Santa Claus was coming. That was another reason I had to go to work. Santa Claus had to come. And then I was just consumed with guilt that I was in this position, that my marriage had broke down. I was obviously a failure at marriage. I wasn't, you know, able to go to work all of the time because my children were sick due to them being young. So I was failing at work. And now the one and most important role as a mother is to keep your children safe. I failed at keeping my child safe. So I was heartbroken. After 10 days, the doctors called me in and said that my two-year-old wasn't responding to treatment. And if I had any calls to make, I should make them. And this was the eve of my 40th birthday. I was 40 the next day. So I was completely rock bottom. And I just took his little hand and I said, I'll make a deal with you. If you hang on and get better, I will turn our lives around. We will never and never be in this position again. I can promise you that. Just hang in there. The next morning he woke up by some miracle and asked for breakfast cereal. And it was the best 40th birthday present I ever had. So I never went back to my job in the pharmacy because he needed skin grafts. And when the sepsis had passed and the infection had passed, he got skin grafts. And it was a year of rehabilitation and physiotherapy and dressings and wound management. And also I was absolutely terrified to leave my children again. I thought something terrible was going to happen. So I'd never been off work full-time before. I worked part-time in the pharmacy when my children were young and I had to pay the mortgage, but I didn't even care about that then. I knew I'd survive. So I don't know what supports you have for lone parents in Germany, but here the government support you with a very small payment just to buy food. And I didn't care. I said, I'll figure something out. And I was off work during this time. I was thinking, would I explore this idea I had about this kid's jelly throat lozenge? Because, you know, I need stimulation. I love being a mother, but I'm also a person with a brain and I like being stimulated and having a purpose. And I missed my job in pharmacy. I loved my job in pharmacy. I was doing it 25 years. And so literally on New Year's Day 2017, I sat at my laptop and I Googled, how do you make a product from scratch? Because I have no background in making products or product developments. I've been an employee for my whole life. And a link to a website called Enterprise Ireland popped up. I'd never heard of Enterprise Ireland. And it said, do you have an idea or a concept you would like to explore? Fill in this form. So I filled in the form with a mug of coffee and I hit send and I completely forgot about it. And about a week later, I got a call from Enterprise Ireland saying, this is so interesting. Like, we feel that you might be onto something. Will you come in and speak to us? And I was saying, really? Okay. I'll be delighted to go in and speak to you. So I went in and I had a meeting with them and they put me on my very first entrepreneurial program called New Frontiers. And on New Frontiers, that is a program to, like they said, flesh out an idea. So it was 2 evenings a week from 6 to 9. And they had different consultants come in to deliver workshops. One would be what you need to start up a business. One would be, do you have the skills to run a business? Another would be product development. Are you a service? Are you a retail product? And so on. And I had no idea that I was going to absolutely love all of this information. So as a child, I was a real energy type. I always read and I loved reading books and learning new things. And I was the youngest of six. There were six in my family. And they were really outgoing and I was really shy and I read a lot and I used to think this was a bad thing. But all of a sudden I'm in this room where everyone wants to learn. Everyone's asking questions and something inside me just lit up. And all of a sudden, instead of being this failure which I was used to being in my personal life, or I felt I was a failure, I want to clarify, I actually wasn't failing. I was providing for my children. I was going to work. I was paying the mortgage. But I didn't believe that at the time. Do you know, you're in a certain mindset and you just think you're a failure. You believe that is what I'm saying. So I was in this program now and people wanted to hear what I had to say about my idea. And then they gave me tools to research the idea. So research it in Ireland, research in European countries, research globally. I wouldn't have known how to do that. But that's all essential to find out, is there a demand for your product? Is there a need? And so on. And so basically, long answer, that's how I got started.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your personal story. Maybe you tell us a bit then the next stages. So I already said that you started together with a co-founder, Denise, like when you really found it. And then also like, yeah, how this whole process got further to the stage where you're today, where you're like having products on the market, where you got funded, and how many employees do you have right now? Like, just to get an idea a bit, like where's the, from where you started, like where you're currently at and, what's the plan for the future?
No problem. So on New Frontiers, I started this in 2017 and it was learning about business, and I set up my business in Ireland in order to get grant funding. So I had no money. I was struggling to pay my mortgage. So like you're saying, typical founders are young. They've left a corporate job. They're on six-figure salaries, and the big sacrifice is they're not on their six-figure salaries anymore. You know, I had nothing. So for me, I had nothing to lose. So there's lots of grant supports in Ireland if you have an idea, but you have to have an idea that has innovation, that's truly new. So I felt I was solving this child's sore throat and cough problem in a new way. And so in order to apply for grant funding, I had to found a company. So that's, I founded a limited company to access grants. So when you're an entrepreneur, I didn't know I was an entrepreneur at the time. I just needed grant aid if I wanted to explore this idea. If I got a grant from the government to explore my idea, I didn't have to go and work 9 to 6 in a pharmacy and leave my children. So the motivator for me was powerful. It was to keep my children safe. What do I need to pull in here to keep my children safe? So I knew the idea was a good one because I'd worked in the industry. So that's the other thing to say to someone who's starting off. I knew this sector well. I knew from the staff member behind the counter, and I knew what the mother or the father who has the child was looking for. So that was really important. I knew the market really well. And so I got my first lot of grant funding, and with Enterprise Ireland's help, they directed me to the research and development universities in Ireland who would help me research this formula. I wanted this formula to melt in the mouth and cause no choke hazards to the young child. And Denise was on New Frontiers. She had a different business. She had a tea company. Her reasons for being on New Frontiers was different to mine. She wanted to scale her business. It was doing quite well. She wanted to learn how to scale and what that involved, where I was just fleshing out this idea. So I had 4 children. Denise has 4 children. We've 8 children between us. So we had a lot in common. You know, on the program, we enjoyed each other's company. We laughed a lot, which was really important. We had the same sense of humor. And then as we got more involved in developing our businesses, so mine was building a prototype, hers was scaling our business, we kept in touch. And then it took me 1.5 years to finish the formula. It was very complicated. And then I had to get a medical device company on board because I don't know if you've seen our product, Tom Sticks Honey Jelly Pops. It's delivered on a fun stick. So it looks like a lozenge and the stick looks like a person and the head of that stick is jelly. And I wanted to make it fun for children to use. So the design of that, I funded that all through grant aid. So different grants. And I don't know again what the supports are where you are, but in Ireland, you can get grants, but it's very off-putting because the application form could be 30 pages long and it could take a week to fill it in. But I had no money to put in. So in order for me to move forward, I filled in forms. And now I'm awesome at filling in forms. So that's fine. That worked for me. So me and Denise kept in touch. And then in 2019, I finally got a prototype made. And it was a tiny little stick with the jelly head. And I'd gone through a lot of 3D printing. I had to print the stick and test different amounts of jelly and how long would that last. And different things had to be measured again. Enterprise Ireland linked me in with the supports. And then I learned all of these steps in this process as I went through it. I didn't know any of it starting off. I absorbed it all like a sponge. I loved every minute of it. And so I applied for a fund in Ireland called Competitive Star Fund, where Enterprise Ireland will give award 50,000 euros of investment into innovative products or businesses. And I had applied for it twice before and they said, no, we don't really see anything special here. But when I had the prototype done, and then in the background, I was meeting pharmacy buyers through my network in pharmacy. I would say, I'm developing this product to solve this sore throat issue for children. If I made a product like this, would you buy it? And they're saying, yes, yes. So I got a number of pharmacy chains to say, if you build it, we will buy it, we will stock it. And then I had the food scientists develop the formula. So my formulation was kind of university certified. Then I had a medical device company making completely safe, recyclable stick, which was going to deliver the jelly. And then I needed branding. So I got some provisional branding pulled together. It wasn't right for the product, but it just helped me have something in my hand that I could now show someone, where before it was sketches on paper. So all of that took 2 full years. And then in 2019, I applied for the competitive star fund, again, the female call. And I won the 50K. So that's when I had been chatting to Denise over the years, the 2 years, to see how she was getting on. Because when you're doing something like this, when you're not working a 9-to-5 job, your friends and family can't relate to that because they just work. They go to work, they come home. They wouldn't want to start a business. They don't know anything about R&D or development or anything like that, or funding or grants. It's not on their radar. Why would it be? So there's very few people you can talk to. So I used to chat to Denise about what was going on with me, and she'd tell me what she was frustrated with or what was going good. So when I won Competitive Star Fund, I had my prototype and I had all these pharmacies saying they were going to buy the product. Denise is a sound engineer by trade, so I knew she'd be quite technical. So I said to her, would you like to join me to scale this up and take the product to market? I don't really know how to do that yet, but I have prototype and I have investment and I have, you know, interest from pharmacies. I can't offer you any salary because I'm living on grant aid myself. And amazingly, she said yes. So here we are. It took a further 2 years to get the product on shelf because as soon as she joined us, the pandemic hit. And so then we had to figure out how to produce this product because it's so unique. The stick doesn't run like a regular lollipop stick. It's a straight stick, but our stick is a stick person shape. So there's no machinery in the world that can run this stick. So we then had to engineer specific machinery to facilitate the production of this product. And we designed that during lockdown from our kitchen tables with engineers over Zoom. But it's crazy. When you're faced with no alternative, you just find a way, you know, that's the entrepreneur. You will find a way to solve the problem. That took me to kind of product launch. But then we engineered the machines and the manufacturers of this equipment said, okay, we can make these for you. Now we know what you need, but it's going to cost €500,000. So we're now two mums at home from our kitchen tables in lockdown, homeschooling our kids. I even got a puppy to add to the chaos. We've no money. So then we start using our network with Enterprise Ireland and we start sending out emails saying, we need seed investment. Would you know of anyone or would you be interested in investing in their company? You know, and that sounds really crazy, but this was the only block to the next step, which was production and getting on shelf. So people often ask, the question I wanted to know as a startup was, I used to say, who do you ask for money? Like, is there a Yellow Pages? Is there a Google for investors? How do you know who these people are? So what we started with was we emailed anyone who delivered a workshop to us. And we would say, we're ready for our seed raise round now. Do you know any high wealth individual or any VCs who would be interested in investing? And then that led to different kind of meetings over Zoom with different investors. And what we did learn was, if you're not in front of the right investors, so the initial investors we sat in front of would traditionally invest in tech companies or services. We're a retail product. All the shops in the world have closed down. So it was very difficult. And then we were introduced to an organization called HBAN, so Halo Angel Investor Network in Ireland. And they're a different group of people who are high wealth individuals who will come together and invest to you know, fulfill a seed round in a group. And they'll be tech-specific or food-specific or pharma-specific. So we got in front of food investors. So our product is honey, and we've put it in a jelly base to dissolve at body temperature to remove choke hazard, so it melts in the child's mouth. And we've added zinc and vitamin C for immune support. In Ireland, we're classified as a functional food. So we are a food that's fortified with vitamins. So we were now in front of food investors, even though we're placing the product in pharmacies for sale as a completely natural product. There's no drugs, no additives, no nasty E-numbers. We needed people who understood food and how food was produced in order to understand the investment we needed. Not everyone builds a factory from scratch to make a product. Most people with food companies would hire a commercial kitchen, make a little few test batches, start selling it on a small scale. But already we had 350 pharmacies saying they wanted to stock. When could we supply? So based with all the research, I was continuously doing research for the whole number of years. So we're up to 2020 now, 3 years of research. And we knew the market size. We knew the global market size. We knew what's spent. There's like $123 billion spent every year around the world on cough and cold remedies, because you can't cure the cold, or but you do buy over-the-counter medications and natural remedies to manage the symptoms. So that was our kind of pitch. Where this is going to help give comfort to a child during times when they have a sore throat or dry cough. We're appealing. We knew our bullseye customer was a mother, because we've seen also in the pandemic, it was 80% of women who had to step away from their jobs, you know, because they couldn't do both. They couldn't homeschool, work. It was very hard. So our bullseye customer was women aged between 30 and 45, because that's the age group women are now having children. They're having their careers. They're becoming educated, traveling, then making a decision to settle down and have children. Not like 50 years ago when your only goal as a woman was to have babies. So we put all of this information into a pitch, and we started pitching to the food network, the food investors, and we got an initial small investment of six figures, and it allowed us to put a deposit on this machinery. So this machinery and to build this factory was going to cost $500,000. We had a fifth of that. And again, this is the entrepreneurial risk taker. We put the deposit down, not knowing how we were going to pay the balance. But we just realized if we could keep doing another body of work and meet, you know, the really high wealth individuals or the VCs, we had the machinery now. So now we had a way to make this product, that the investment would come. And that's exactly what happened. So once we got the deposit, we had engineering designs. We knew how many pops we could make per minute, which means we could have X amount of units to sell to these 350 pharmacies, and how many other stores we were going to aim to bring in each month. Very realistic forecast. How that was a very real forecast was my background in pharmacy. I know I had data from previous stores I worked in on how these things sell, how many a month sell. Then we also found out how many children there are in the world. Broke that down into Ireland, UK and Europe and so on. And then we pitched to investors, and we raised in total in the last year, 1.2 million euro in investment, which is insane, because this day, 5 years ago, I had just given up my job and didn't know how I was going to manage to keep a roof over my head. We have, there's myself and Denise, and then we have seven employees. So we have a production manager, five production operatives, and an admin. That's all. They're all full time. I'm in our factory. We're in our factory now. It's probably a bit echoey, so apologies for that. We've implemented a 4-day work week to support work-life balance. So we had the opportunity to build any kind of company culture that we wanted to, because Denise, you know, she's four children and married, and I'm on my own with my children. We felt we needed to build a work environment that considered people's personal situations and was flexible, you know, and so that was a goal of ours from the start. So we've done that. We participated in the global 4-day week trial. It just finished this month, and we're about to announce to staff that this is going to be permanent, and they're going to be really happy. So things are going from strength to strength. We're in 770 pharmacies in Ireland. We only launched in April. We've secured the big pharmacy chains here in this country, and we've had inquiries from the UK already. And we just hope to add to the team and continue to grow, but also without losing sight of the fact that we genuinely want to help solve this problem for children when they have a sore throat and a dry cough. And it's a tiny little solution, but it's one that's welcome and one that was needed and one that no one else did. So I suppose that's really the whole story, really quickly, in a nutshell.
Yeah, very interesting. And there's a, just to go a little bit into that funding, talking about funding, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about stereotypes, gender stereotypes, like that woman, like at least from the facts and figures in Germany, there's a lot less funding for female-led startups. And due to various reasons, one being gender stereotypes, which I'm actually researching a lot on, how stereotypes affect not necessarily funding. That's not the focus of my research, but in general. So what do you think was that in your case? I mean, you said that you're a mom, so you're a pharmacist. So you had the expertise both from the kids, like what they need, and also from your skill background. However, do you think was it an asset for you, the being a woman, being a single mom in the funding process, or was it like a barrier? Like, how did you experience, like, do you think that it took you longer to get funding because of your situation, or was it like maybe even that investors saw, okay, she knows what she's doing, so we need to believe her and we really trust in the business because of your background. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixture. So we had a couple of investors who said no straight away, that they wouldn't be interested, or it wasn't viable, or it wasn't scalable. I don't think that was to do with gender. I just think they weren't understanding the goal or the problem that our product was solving. We did meet another investor who usually invested in tech, and we were just looking for €500,000. And we met with him, and we had other investors interested, but he wanted the whole pie. He didn't want anyone else to share it with. And we were doing our due diligence, and we met up with him. It was in December 2020. So temporarily in Ireland, they lifted lockdown and we could go into a room with masks and meet. So we sat down and he had his advisor, and those myself and Denise. And really, me being a lone parent, I was embarrassed, a little bit embarrassed by my circumstances. And I didn't discuss that with anyone on any of the programs. I've only started telling this part of the story in the last year because I feel it might help other people who might be in that situation to know it's not the end. Life will go on. You just have to keep going. And we were in the room and we were discussing the finances and the forecast. And in the middle of it, he said, look, I have to ask, you know, you said your mother's in our pitch. It was, we were mothers, so we know the problem. And he said, what's your childcare situation? You know, if I'm going to give you all of this money, you know, can you dedicate the time to build this business? And we're actually shocked by that because we had been pitching and we had secured this seed fund, a small amount initially. And we were looking for the big chunks to continue paying off the machinery and secure the building. And I'm so annoyed with myself because we felt so desperate to get this money in because we had paid the deposit on the machinery. We explained ourselves to him. I immediately said, oh, you know, I've been working in pharmacy my whole life and my children are grown and childcare is an issue. Denise was similar. You know, Denise was a sound engineer, a very successful sound engineer for 10 years. She was running her tea business. It wasn't an issue. The childcare wasn't going to stop us. And I just kind of said to him, what's your childcare situation? And he said, oh, my wife takes care of that. You know, and I was really shocked. And after the meeting, Denise and I were so angry with ourselves because we should have immediately said, that's no bearing on our business plan. That's no bearing, you know. Like you have said there in your question, did I find my background helped me to be more credible for someone to invest in? And the answer is yes. So did Denise's background as a qualified engineer. And also she was running a company. She has run a company. So we never really came across that again. And the investors who came in, the VC, I'm really proud to say, they're one of the first VCs in Ireland to focus on food and drink businesses. It's very hard to get investment for food businesses in Ireland. Ireland is really sexy for tech companies. They love tech and they love the 30-year-old young guy who's, you know, in his founder hoodie. And we weren't that. We're these two moms who want to build a factory. I know that's not typical. You know, they've labeled us here in Ireland the manufacturing moms. That's what we are, you know. But we had a really clear vision. We knew what the product was, who we were going to sell it to, how we were going to make it, you know. So they're all the important things. We had our finances worked out. So a VC called the Redesdale Food and Beverage Fund was set up in Ireland, and it was the first fund of its kind. And what was really unique to this fund was their focus was on supporting female entrepreneurship, because they know women-led businesses are more successful and get to profits faster than male-led companies. So they are smart men, and they decided that they're going to invest as much money in female-led businesses as men. And we were the first company they invested in. And we exceeded our round because we felt, we, you know, with manufacturing, we underestimated what we would need. So we took in more investment than we originally planned. But we're backed by this amazing VC, and they've been so supportive. And I know that's unusual for VCs, but we got lucky, and you know, we fit their criteria and they fit ours. So far it's going great. Thank God, we're really lucky.
We already heard so much, and I think we're almost at the end of our conversation. Maybe for the last question, as the podcast is named Five, so we always have one question about like your top five or five recommendations. And I think maybe, do you want to sum up as like for aspiring female founders who are out there, like your five biggest learnings or recommendations, like something you want to send out to our listeners, and from your retrospective of going through that journey of like the last 5 years?
Absolutely. So for me, as a you know, single parent, I didn't have much value or belief in myself, you know, and what working on this business taught me again was I do have a value. I didn't know I was creative, and I'm super creative, and it's through this work that I reminded myself who I am. And, you know, I'm also using my brain to full capacity. You don't have to just be a mother or just be a pharmaceutical technician or be an entrepreneur. You can manage all of that, you know, quite successfully. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you are an entrepreneur truly, you just take all the hits and keep going. You know, you have to be strong, and you have to be determined. And you have to have a very clear vision. From the start, when I used to chat with my pharmacy colleagues and say, I have an idea, the vision for the product never changed. You know, and along the way, people will say, oh, you should do this, and why don't you do that? And you have to have a really clear focus on what you're trying to achieve and stick to it. Because if you go and try to do all different things to please different people, you just will never get there. So keep a really clear vision and a clear kind of clear sight on your end goal. And believe in yourself. Absolutely believe in yourself. If you've gone this far, you know, it's unusual. Most people don't pursue an idea. You know, you're halfway there.
But how do you do that? You know, like this, I mean, you were like courageous enough to do the jump. Like, but I think that's probably mainly about it. Like, how do you believe in yourself if you don't believe in yourself? You know, like,
I suppose that's a really, really good question. So I'll tell you, suppose what I kind of mentioned there, I got addicted to seeing how far I could take it. it's never about financial gain for me, this business. It's, I love this work. I'm learning something new every day. I'm, like I said, a traditional nerdy kind of kid. Learning lights my fire. And every day you're going to learn something new. So it's that cliche where it doesn't feel like work. So that's why I kept going. And then all of a sudden you'll have accomplished this body of work and you did it. And it gives you a sense of achievement. So I got hooked on these achievements, and they're not big achievements. It's just, I got this drawn in from this engineer and I didn't have to spend any money. And it was rebuilding my confidence, but I wasn't aware it was rebuilding my confidence, but that's what was happening.
You know, I think, yeah.
It was just a passion you have, I guess, to get to the next phase. So it just kind of evolves.
Yeah, I think that's a very good advice. Like, to sometimes, even if you can't see like that you're gonna achieve the big picture at the end, but like to do the little steps and to fill out that form, to send out some emails, to like just little things, and then suddenly something will become reality. Maybe not everything, but something will happen, and from there it's a little thing that builds confidence, and then you go further, and then people come in, and then, you know, like you build the network, and step by step, that's what you said, you're not really dedicating your time of like, oh, I'm building my confidence, but like in the retrospective you can that's where I am today. So yeah,
consistently, it's every email you send, it's every time someone replies, you've got a response, it will spur you on because they're interested. And yeah, it's small steps consistently, because it took 5 years for me to get the product myself, and I could have given up at any stage, but I enjoyed every step so much. But I'm very easily pleased. I'm very low maintenance as a person. I don't mind if I don't have money to get my hair done or go for a massage. Small wins are a big deal to me. So maybe that mindset helped me continue in the long term. And I think entrepreneurs need to have that mindset. It's about every little tiny win every day.
Thank you so much, Sinead, for sharing your story about your personal story, your story about your building up a startup. And I hope that many listeners out there feel inspired and even if you're not in the ideal situation, there's always something you can do. And there's people and initiatives who help you in the process. And yeah, just if you feel like that's your call, just go for it. And thank you. Thanks for being here.
No problem. You're welcome. Thank you. No problem. And just to let you know, my little boy fully recovered. He's 8 now and he is the best footballer on his team. So all turned out okay for me.
Great. Thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Family and business.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
This was 5, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship. We hope that today's episode sparked your curiosity and leaves you feeling inspired and motivated to explore further. Follow us on Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, or Google Podcast to never miss upcoming insights on inspiring startup stories. Thanks for listening, and until next time.